I like to entertain myself on my commute to and from work with people watching. It's fun trying to imagine what kinds of lives people lead, be it boring or extraordinary. I look around me and I picture who these people are, where they're going, who they're with, who's waiting at home for them, that kind of stuff. I also find it highly amusing to think that the most boring looking people lead the most extraordinary lives. Like the old lady who knits every morning on her way to wherever she's going might have been the mistress of a powerful political figure in her youth. Or how the mousy looking guy who always wears various shades of gray might be a spy. That kind of stuff. It's silly, I know, but it's fun. And harmless, I like to think. And then one day, you joined my commute. When you first entered the train, you looked a little flustered and kept looking around yourself as if someone was chasing you. You were making a spectacular balancing act out of juggling your bag, a bunch of papers, a to-go cup of coffee, and a pamphlet with all the train lines on it. You walked into my cart and sat down next to the old lady I mentioned earlier. She looked up from her knitting, and you asked her if this was the correct train, and when she indeed told you that you were heading the right direction, you seemed to deflate a little. In a good way. I took some time to look at you. You were dressed formally, but looked a little disheveled, which meant that either you had overslept or you'd ran here. When you sipped from your cup of coffee, I didn't notice a wedding ring, which meant that either you were single or there was someone for you waiting at home, a girlfriend or a boyfriend or that. I was kind of hoping the former. You were putting your papers away, and I imagined that you were probably on your way to the first day on the job or maybe a job interview. Either or. Your tie was also crooked, and for a moment I imagined myself straightening it before sending you out the door. That took me by surprise. Usually I never add myself into the equation when I think of other people's lives, but something about you just... I'm not sure. I immediately forced myself to derail my train of thoughts because I didn't want to get carried away. So I looked out the window, but not before you caught my eye and gave me a smile. I smiled back, and that was that. The next day, when you entered the train, you looked a lot more relaxed. You were also not dressed as formally. You were still wearing a button-up and all that, but the tie and the blazer were gone. You were sipping from a cup of coffee again, and when you noticed me, you gave me another smile, and I smiled back. I like to picture that maybe it was your first day on the job, and you were horribly overdressed and felt a little self-conscious about it the entire day. So today you were not going to make that faux pas. You sat down next to the old lady again, who didn't look up this time. I once again imagined me sending you off. Maybe I'd made you lunch or something, and it was sitting safely in that bag of yours. My thoughts about you continued, and they were innocent at first. Every day you would enter the train, every day we would smile at each other, and then my brain would go wild. Like I said, it started innocent at first, very domestic. I would picture myself living with you, and you would come home after a long day of work, and we would order in or we would make dinner together, and you would talk about your day, and I would talk about mine, and then we'd watch a movie or something. Very sweet, very domestic, very innocent. And then some days I would picture what it would be like to kiss you. What it would be like to cuddle next to you in bed. And then one day, I decided, why the hell not? And I indulged in more than just domestic fantasies about a stranger on the train. It was actually on a day that you were not there. I was sitting there staring at the spot you usually sat for a moment, and then I pictured maybe we both had taken a day off. We were both still in bed, in our PJs, and we were just kind of cuddling for a moment, feeling the warmth of each other next to us. And then I would try to wriggle out of your grasp saying that I wanted to go get breakfast, and then you kissed my neck and said that I was your breakfast. I'd giggle, and then I would kiss you and said, fine, but I'm hungrier, so I get first dibs. I would kiss down your neck, your shoulders, your chest, letting my fingertips trail along your body for a moment, just appreciating you and what you felt like under my hands. My fingertips would then hook themselves under the elastic of your pajama pants and slowly pull them down until you were laid bare in front of me. My mouth started watering at the thought, but I kept entertaining it. I started wondering what it would be like. How you'd taste. How you'd feel. how the weight of it would lay on my tongue as I took you into my mouth. The noises you'd make as I run my tongue over the head of it. The hiss that would come out of your mouth as I run my nails gently over your thighs. What it would be like once the head of it hit the back of my throat. I had to cross my legs at that point because it was getting a little too much, but I kept entertaining the train of thought. I've been thinking about you so often, it was only natural that my thoughts would stray in this direction, no? I imagined it. How I would please you. How I would sound. How your fingers would feel once they tangled in my hair and pushed my head down just a little bit more. How it would feel to take all of you. How it would taste once you came undone in my mouth. And then, sadly, my stop came. But at work, I continued to entertain the thought. I thought of what it would be like once you returned the favor. How you would look staring up at me from the space between my thighs. How your eyes would look as you devoured me. How your tongue would feel. How your fingers would feel once they slipped inside of me and drove me to the brink of madness. The next day when you entered the train, I had trouble looking you in the eye after my thoughts. You seemed to notice because you frowned for a moment when I didn't immediately smile back. And then to my fucking horror, you sat down next to me. You introduced yourself, said that you'd been watching me for a while and that you thought that it would be appropriate to finally say hi. I introduced myself back and tried not to show how freaking flustered I was, because the man I'd just been fantasizing about was now sitting next to me, being nice to me. Just a little awkward. I came to learn more about you. Turned out my thoughts hadn't been too far off. You had indeed been on your way to a job interview and you now worked at that place, and you were indeed horribly overdressed on day one. And I also learned that you were single. My heart soared a little bit at the potential that maybe my fantasies could become true, but I didn't want to get ahead of myself. You are still basically a stranger. But you are a stranger that, soon enough, I would consider an acquaintance, at least, a friend at most. You sit down next to me every morning and we chat. We get to know each other a bit better, and at one point I did confess to my people watching. You got this kind of glint in your eyes that I didn't trust and asked me if I'd ever thought about you. I said that I had. You then got this, like, mischievous grin on your face and asked me what it was I had thought about you. I kind of shut down at that moment, and you continued to prod, jabbing your elbow in my ribs briefly, saying, like, hey, you could tell me. I won't be mad at you. I then confessed that I did have some ideas about what you were like as a person and wondering if you were heading a certain place and that you were on a job interview and all of that, and you eyed me and said, there's more, isn't there? I nodded. I told you about how I may have had a bit of a crush on you, and I told you about the times I'd fantasized about you doing things to me. You said what kind of things, but then seemed to realize that we are in a public setting. You then decided that it was best that we swapped numbers, which we surprisingly hadn't done all this time. I was a little nervous when I gave you my number and when I typed yours into my phone. That evening after work, I got a call from you. I picked up and you immediately spearheaded the conversation with, okay, now tell me, what is it you thought of me doing to you? I stammered a little bit and then I confessed. I told you about how I imagined going down on you and how you went down on me. And I also confessed more private thoughts I had, not on the train, when I was alone with myself at night in the early hours of the morning with an ache between my thighs. I told you about how I imagined what it would be like if you were bent over me, your cock inside of me, and whispering all sorts of filth into my ear as you took me. About your hands on my chest, your mouth biting at my neck and shoulder, marking me because I was yours. About the noises you'd make, about how you'd feel, about how you'd look. And then you said, I've been thinking about you too. My heart nearly stopped, but I asked you what you were thinking about. You talked about how you wanted to drag me into the train bathroom and rail me then and there. You talked about bending me over the nearest flat surface, hiking my skirt up, tearing my panties off, and just ravishing me. Having your way with me because apparently you'd noticed me looking and my stare had driven you mad. You also talked about fucking my mouth, and my mouth once again watered. And I couldn't help myself and let my hand trail southward. You were touching yourself too, I could hear it. And you confessed it a little bit after. And we kept trading fantasies as we pleasured ourselves. I kept talking about how badly I wanted to be on my knees for you with my mouth wide open to take whatever it was you wanted to give me. And you played right back into that, saying you wanted nothing more than to come undone in the back of my throat, to make a mess out of me, watch my makeup run as you fucked my mouth, to make a mess of my hair by digging your hands into it, using it as leverage. And to then make me stand up, bend over the bed as you fucked me and spanked me and all that stuff. I don't think I ever came that hard over something as simple as phone sex. And hearing the noises you make for real, ugh. I wish I could have stayed then and there in that moment forever. Once we both came down from our highs, you asked if it would be okay if we grabbed coffee sometimes. I couldn't help but laugh, but I agreed. And I said that maybe afterwards we could head to my apartment and we could talk. You smiled and said, "Deal." And turns out, sometimes reality is better than fantasy.